My name is Pastor Jeremy Bannister. I am the lead pastor here at Heights Christian Church. And one of the things that we do here that's a little bit different is that we go through the Bible in 5 years period of time. And so we do that in a couple of ways. One thing that we do is we read together from Monday through Saturday. And then on Sunday, our scripture is taken in whole or in part from that section that we've read together. The whole reason we do that is so that we might become, number one, biblically literate, so that we know what the Word of God actually says. The early church people were known as people of the book, people of the Word, and we want to be known as that again. And the second reason is this: we believe that the thread of redemption that is found in Jesus Christ is found from the beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelation. And that by knowing the Word of God better, we're going to be better able to share the good news of Jesus to the world around us who needs Jesus. Amen? So that's who we are. The great news about this is, if this is your first time visiting us, by next week you're caught up with what we're reading, because we're all reading together, and you can begin to discover Jesus in the Scriptures just like we're doing. There's a couple ways you can do that. Number one is at the information desk, we have some booklets. Yeah, I was wondering. You had a coy look on your face like you didn't bring it today, Bobby. I don't know why. But Bobby has the booklet right there. It has all of our readings for 2026. And we would love for you to pick that up so that you can read along with us. Or you can go to heightschristian.org, go to the visit tab at heightschristian.org, and there's a little button there where you can view or download that exact same PDF booklet, and you can download it to your phone, you can download it to your tablet, to your computer, so you have it with you always, and that you can follow along with us as we're reading together as a congregation. So we're excited because we're going through the Psalms right now, and we're doing that a little bit differently because we're not going through it 1 through 150, we're going through it through category. And this week was Thanksgiving. Isn't that awesome that we have Thanksgiving being the subject of what we're doing on this July 4th weekend? It's kind of a cool thing, don't you guys think? I love Thanksgiving. There's a lot of things that we should be giving thanks for. As a matter of fact, we need to be a thankful people. And a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, but on Facebook there was this trend. And I want to say it happened during the month of November, during Thanksgiving, where somebody had just started saying, you know what? I'm tired of seeing the junk on social media that complains all the time. How many of you are feeling that, right? It's still here today, right? But they had this trend like, hey, let's do something different and type out all the stuff that we're thankful for. Can we do that for 1 month? Can we do that? And a lot of people did it. It was really, really neat to see, to have your feed kind of filled, not with all the, oh, I hate this and I hate that, and you just name whatever it is that you hate, right? To actually say, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that. That's pretty awesome, right? It kind of uplifts your spirits a little bit. So I thought I'd get us started today by talking about things that I'm truly thankful for. Because I figure we hear enough doom and gloom even from the pulpit. Amen? Amen. All right, so I'm thankful for a Thanksgiving type of sermon today. Things I am thankful for. First and foremost, I feel like I'm going to sound like those people who are accepting an award, you know. I want to first and foremost thank my Lord and Savior Jesus. You know, sometimes they start with that and they just kind of go through, and my producer and everybody else. But I'm very serious when I say, first and foremost, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. He saved me, changed my life. I'm not standing here. I'm not the man that I am without Jesus transforming me. I am so thankful for Jesus. He is the whole reason in which I live, and I am so thankful. I'm thankful for my wife. We just recently celebrated 32 years of marriage together. I would not be here. God used her as part of the reason that I came to Jesus is because of her, and I'm so thankful for that. It's been an adventure together. We have had ups and downs and everything in between, and I am so thankful for everyone. She's my best friend. She's the person I love spending time with. I'm so thankful for her beyond measure. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my daughter Victoria, who's not here today because she's at another church with her husband, whatever. For Micah, for my daughter Kathleen, for their families that I've seen, that they're, two of my children are married, having kids. We have grandkids now. What a blessing. I come in and Gabriella said, yeah, you were running around today and Jamie's just chasing after you because he wanted to see you. What a blessing. And those of you who are in the two-year discipleship class on Thursday, I'm standing there, we're trying to get started, and Jamie just runs up to me and goes like this. We can't start class yet. I have to pick up my grandson. That's what happens. I'm so thankful. So thankful for my family. So thankful for my children and the families that have been, that we've grown as a result of that. The wives, the husbands, Lord, that the Lord has blessed my children with. I'm thankful for the family that I was born into. Wasn't a perfect family, but I'm thankful for my dad who raised us. I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for God putting me in that family because according to the word, if I placed there specifically so I'd come to know him. And so I'm so thankful. All the ups and downs that came with the family that I was grown into. So thankful for that. I am thankful for the country I'm privileged to be a part of. 250 years. How many of you celebrated yesterday? We did. We had some fun yesterday. It was awesome. And we should. Funny story. So I'm wearing these shirts. Me and Shannon are wearing these shirts right now because we wanted to have something. I ordered a shirt over 2 weeks ago. It's a special 250-year commemorative shirt. Totally awesome. We kept looking for it in the mail, looking for it in the mail, looking for it in the mail. And I kept having this tracking thing. And I noticed the tracking thing says, find out where your stuff is at. It's on July 2nd. I looked at it. It was like, it's in Sweden. Good news is this morning I got a notification. It's in the United States. It's finally made its way home, kind of. Now it just needs to make its way to our house. But we ended up going down to Hobby Lobby, and that's where we found these awesome shirts. I'm like, yeah, God provides. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We are so fortunate to live in this country. I am privileged and thankful for the job that I have. Did you know that July 1st marked 25 years for me being pastor here at Heights Christian Church? Quarter of a century, that's right. So amazing. And just to see all the people in this period of time to be able to have the privilege to share the gospel with, to teach, to talk to. It's awesome. I can't tell you how thankful I am, both for the job that I have and the congregation, the friends that I've gotten from this place. I'm thankful that my sports teams are good sports teams. In my lifetime, my Clemson Tigers have won 3 national championships. I'm very happy about that. In my lifetime, the Braves have won 2 World Series, 1 against the Houston Astros and Pastor Mark's favorite team. That was a throwdown for the ages. Amen. And my Falcons have made the Super Bowl twice before getting crushed both times. Anyway, so let's move on from there. But I'm still thankful. Still thankful. I'm thankful for the beauty of the mountains I get to live by. You know, one of the things we may take for granted living here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or that we joke about, you want to know east, just look at the Sandia Mountains. If you live in town, it's like Sandia's east. That you can see a mountain like that, you don't get that anyplace else. Rocky Mountains are very unique in that regard, that you just get to see these huge mountains just everywhere. I love the mountains. I love driving through and seeing all the scenery, God's beauty. It's amazing. And maybe you're a beach person. God loves you too. But there's nothing here of that type of water. But you know what? You guys are thankful when you get to go near water. Amen? I'm thankful for the struggles I've had. That's hard to say, isn't it? I'm thankful that God has given me struggles. I hate them at the time, but I'm thankful for them because he uses them to grow me. Uses them to have me be more dependent upon him. And I've grown to understand that next struggle I'm going through, God's still teaching me. I'm thankful that I've been privileged to see people whom I've discipled into maturity. Oh, Word of God says, you know, there's no greater joy than seeing my people walk in the truth. 3 John, verse 4. Man, so true. All the investment in people, when you see them walking well with Jesus, man, that's a joy to my heart. I'm so thankful for that. We're going to have Levi sharing the Word of God next week. Woohoo! It's going to be awesome. We had David just officiate his first wedding this weekend for his son. Isn't that awesome? That's why they're not here. They're still partying, and it's okay, right? Man, when I see the people who I've had the privilege of touching just a little bit doing so well, man, that's something I'm just thankful for. Brings joy to my heart. And I'm thankful for the provision I've always had. You know, the Bible is very clear. We've got clothes on our back. We've got food on the table. We're blessed. That's a very low bar, isn't it? We like to raise that bar. It's like, I want more than that. I want shelter and cars and all that. That's the low bar. Clothes on the back, food on the table. 1 Timothy 6, James chapter 2, Matthew chapter 6. They all agree, whether it's Jesus, Paul, James, they're all saying the same thing. That's the low bar right there. And I have always, by the grace of God, had those things in my life, even when things were hard. I am so thankful for God's provision in my life. And that's what we're talking about today, a thankful heart. Because we don't live in a society anymore that seems very thankful. I think we've rediscovered it a little bit this weekend. Praise God. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we're living in a society that seems to be more and more characterized by what we complain about. We're characterized by all the things that we don't have, don't like, wish we had, and it's just constant complaining. How many of you doom scroll? Raise your hand. I do, to my shame, I do. You get on there, and you're just like, oh, and you can, how many of you argue with the articles and the stuff that pops up on your feed? There are a few honest people here. How many of you comment on them? I haven't done that yet. I've done it in social media. I've not done it on stories yet, but some of you might be those people who do that. I understand it's so easy, right? To be dissatisfied, to be thankless. And there's a danger in that. There's a danger in being thankless. When we go back to Romans chapter 1, I want you to turn with me. Well, it's not going to be on the screens today, so guess what? You got to pull out your own Bibles and look it up yourself. All right, so Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, Paul is talking about the degradation of society. The wrath of God being poured out. In verses 20 and 21, he says something very interesting because this is the linchpin of the degradation of society, how everything turns to be so bad. Everything after verse 21 is about what that leads to. It leads to this, and it leads to this, and it leads to this, and it's terrible. But verses 20 and 21 give us the symptoms of what turns us bad. It says, for God's invisible attributes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. And as a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became worthless and their senseless hearts were darkened. You notice what happened there? It says the degradation of society, what brings the wrath of God, is that we neither acknowledge God, recognized him through all creation, though it screams his name, nor gave gratitude. We didn't give thanks. And then our hearts became in our futile thinking, because guess what? We didn't give thanks to God. There is no God. There is no meaning to life. So I guess I'll just live blank. And we're looking at a world right now that is trying to live and fill in that blank. You know why? They've been taught that there is no meaning to life. There's no meaning to life. There is no God. There's nothing to be thankful about. That's why we're reading our feeds everywhere and everybody is thankless. And it leads to the degradation. So people start looking to fill that void that would produce thankfulness with something else, whether it be sexual immorality or whatever it is that we run after, all these vices, gambling, that next high, I want to live for happiness, doing these things. There's nothing in life that means anything, so I have to go out there and find my meaning, find my happiness, do my thing. And you'd think it would produce a thankfulness, but it doesn't. And we read in Romans 1, that's the symptom of a thankless heart, a thankless society, is that we start running after things to try and fill that void, and it doesn't fill it. It just doesn't. And we just find more things not to be thankful for. Right? Get everything we want, and it's strange. You look at Hollywood, you would think, man, they got millions of dollars, get to do all that. Those are some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth. You guys know that, right? And they have everything that they want. That's why Jesus would say, what good is it if a man gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul, right? What will he give in place for his soul? And we seek after things and we find ourselves not being filled. And the heart of it is we don't recognize God and we're not thankful. And unfortunately, that type of life actually invades us too, if we're honest about it, right? You and I, we feel that pressure, don't we? We get sucked into that worldly thing, not being thankful. Amen? I do. I hate saying it. It's true. It's 100% true. So why should we be thankful? Keep thinking of Princess Bride. Hey, hey, what you got to worth living for? True love. Some of you know exactly the reference, right? What do we got worth living for? Well, we have reasons why we should be thankful. Acts chapter 17, Paul is talking to the people in Athens. They too did not know God. He's trying to convey to them the goodness of God. And so in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 22, he says this. It says, Paul stood in the middle of the Areopagus and said, people of Athens, I see that you are extremely religious in every respect. For as I was passing through and observing the objects of your worship, I even found an altar on which was inscribed to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in shrines made by hands, neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives everyone life and breath and all things. From one man he has made every nationality to live over the whole earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of where they live. And he did this so they might seek God and perhaps they might reach out and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. When he talks to the people in Athens concerning why they should be thankful, he points out this God. Like, this God that you don't know, I want to proclaim him to you. Because he created everything. All of creation proclaims the glory of God. That's what we read in Romans 1. That's what he's saying to them right there. Look, he created everything. He's not worshiped by hands. He created everything. Like, he needs anything from you. God doesn't need anything from us. Zero. He created us, not the other way around. He's not dependent upon us. He says, beyond that, beyond just the creation, he provides for us, right? He gives us all things. Everything that we have because of God. Whether you know it or not, that's why you have it. The job that you have, the stuff that you have in your house, God's provided the opportunity for you to have those things. Those are good things. Well, we hope they're good things. Sometimes we purchase bad things. Amen? So, he's given us his provision. And not just that, he's put us in families where we're living in a certain time. There's not an accident. We're living at the time that America celebrates its 250th. I am thankful for the country I live in. I believe it's the greatest country on earth. I really believe that with all my heart. We are blessed to be here. But God's purpose for us being here isn't so that we'd be blessed. Our purpose for being here, as with all of his creation, is that we might know him, that we might reach out, grope for him, and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. That's why you're born in America. Or that's why you live in America if you were born someplace else and came here. And if you live someplace else, and this is just a vacation spot, I have no idea. You live in that place so that you might reach out, grope for him, and find him. Though he's not far from each one of us. For he's provided all things for you, that you might know his son. That's what he wants. And so we should be thankful for those things. As a matter of fact, Psalm 107 that we read this week really hits at the heart of you and me a lot of times when we think about God. This idea of creation and provision doesn't always hit us upside the head, right? It just doesn't. Sometimes we just take for granted those things. But Psalm 107 talks about other reasons why we should praise and be thankful for God. So let's take a look. We're going to read the first 32 verses of Psalm 107. And it says this, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the power of the foe, that he is, and has gathered them from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They were hungry and thirsty, their spirits failed within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. For he has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things. Others sat in darkness and gloom, prisoners in cruel chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the counsel of the Most High. And he broke their spirits with hard labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke their chains apart. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity, for he has broken down the bronze gates and cut through the iron bars. Fools suffered affliction because of their rebellious ways and their iniquities. They loathed all food and came near the gates of death. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress, and he sent word and healed them and rescued them from their traps. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them offer thanksgiving sacrifices and announce his works with shouts of joy. Others went to the sea in ships, conducting trade on the vast water. They saw the Lord's works, his wondrous works in the deep, and he spoke and raised up a stormy wind that stirred up the waves of the sea. rising up to the sky, sinking down to the depths, their courage melting away in anguish. They reeled and staggered like a drunkard, and all their skill was useless. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. And they rejoiced when the waves grew quiet, and he guided them to the harbor they longed for. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Let them exult in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. This is a time we should praise God. How many of you, in times of desperation, that is when I focus on God the most? Right? Sometimes we have to be desperate in order to do that. And sometimes that desperation comes from situations beyond our control. And sometimes those situations happen because of things we've put ourselves into. Amen? And at that point, we're like, oh God, please help me. This is too big for me. God, can you do that? I still remember 9/11. I was here 2 months before 9/11 happened. And 9/11 happened just a few months afterwards. Miss Dorothy was here as a result of that as well. And we saw this church filled with people. The most people that I have seen in this church since I have been here came after 9/11. 320 people. I still remember the number. It's a huge number of people here. It was awesome to see those people there. But they were here because they were desperate. They were here because there was a situation that was so big that they didn't know where else to turn. And so everybody showed up. And we had people all over the community come in and pray. And on an individual basis, as a pastor, I see it all the time. People come into this place. Guess what? They're in a big position. They're like, I have no idea how to get out of this. Whether it's a position that they've put themselves into or a position that has found their way into their life, they're like, I am ready to seek God out to help me in this situation, whatever it is. Fix my marriage. Help me out of this situation. My kids are rebelling. You name it. Whatever it is that's going on, my world is falling apart. I haven't been to church in 15 years, and I'm here crying out to God and hoping that he'll save me. And sometimes he does. And that should be a cause for thanksgiving and celebration and dedication to God. It isn't always, though. And so the psalmist writes these situations and that plea, let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. When he's delivered you, that he deserves that praise, that glory, that dedication. But it doesn't always work out that way. The crisis passes. They were here for a few weeks. They've gone back to living however it was that they were living again. That's what happened 9/11. I would love to say we stayed full the whole time. We didn't. A few weeks later, those numbers came right down again as they thought, life is getting back to normal again. God delivered, and now I can go back to the way that I was. See, these are things we ought to be thankful for, but we're not always, are we? Crisis passes. We go back to living the way that we did before. Doesn't always happen. For some, that's the moment that they're like, God came through. God is awesome. So how do you and I obtain a truly thankful heart? That's the question we really need to ask. How do we obtain a truly thankful heart? Well, let's take a look. Psalm 40, one of the psalms that we read this week as well. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 10. I really love these verses because I think it hits at the heart of, man, when we really recognize the thankfulness that we have because of what God has done for us, it just changes everything. So verse 4 in chapter 40, it says, or verse and in Psalm 40, it says, how happy is anyone who has put his trust in the Lord? and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord, my God, you have done many things. Your wondrous works and your plans for us, none can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they're more than can be told. You do not delight in sacrifice and offering. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for a whole burnt offering or a sin offering. Then I said, see, I've come. In the scroll it is written about me. I delight to do your will, my God, and your instruction is deep within me. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed, as you know, Lord. I did not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I did not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. Notice the things that are said there. How happy is the person who has put his trust in the Lord? And it's like, I can't stop talking about him. What God has done for me, I can't stop talking about it. If you have been redeemed because of what Jesus has done, man, we should be talking about Jesus all the time. People should be so tired of us talking about Jesus. Y'all need to shut up. No, I can't tell you. Now, I used to be a person who shut up until I knew Jesus, and now I can't. It's like, oh my goodness. You should come to church and find out about Jesus. Come and sit down. I'll talk to you about him. Let me tell you what he's done for me. But we forget. We forget, right? Micah shared this scripture earlier because this psalm, Psalm 40, was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 10. So in Hebrews 10, 1 through 18, I think I'm reading a little bit more than what he did. But I can go through it quicker because he already read it, right? It says, since the law has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the reality itself of those things, it can never perfect the worshipers by the same sacrifices they continually offer year after year. Otherwise, wouldn't they have stopped being offered, since the worshipers purified once and for all would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in the sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins year after year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Okay, let me put this in our vernacular, because Micah did a great job in talking about the whole Old Testament law, how they would sacrifice goats and bulls. But we're not Jews, we're Gentiles. We didn't fall under the Old Testament law. So what we would try to do, what the people in Athens were doing, all these other gods, is they would try to appease these gods by living in a way that would please them. If I do just enough good works. So we could replace bulls and goats with good works, right? If I can just do more good than bad, right, I'll be accepted. It's every other worldview, by the way, except Christianity. If I can just do more good than bad, God will accept me into his kingdom forever and ever. Amen. That's not how that works. We stand as creatures under wrath because of our sinfulness. And how many sins does it take to separate us from God? One. How many of you have sinned once? Raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. So now raise your hand. Okay? We sinned. We have chosen to be an enemy of God through our actions. And no amount of making things right makes it right. It just doesn't work like that. I could go off and ram my car into Levi's car. I'm sorry doesn't fix his car. Believe I'm really sorry. I mean, I trashed it good. I mean, it rolled 7 times. It was awesome. In Alaska, what they do is they drive, for July 4th, they drive cars off a mountain and watch them crash, and everybody's like, yay, because it's the land of the midnight sun, so they don't have any place where they can just shoot fireworks at night. So their fireworks are, I did that to your car, Levi. It was glorious. Right? And I could say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. He'll never get that car back. Or I can buy him a new one. That's not the same as having the old one. It's just not. I can never restore that. And you and I are in the folly when we think that we can, through our actions, earn the approval of God, when we, through our actions, became agents deserving of wrath. And the problem is, we know ourselves all too well, because we think we put on good front for everybody, right? They get to see our best. God gets to see what's inside. All those ugly thoughts never said. I had self-control with my tongue, but not with my head. Anybody? Just me? God gets to see us for who we are. And we're not good. We're in need of a Savior. And not all of our good, all the good that we do in this world is not good enough to take away our sins. Verse 5. Therefore, as he was coming into the world, he said, "You did not desire sacrifice and offering, but you prepared a body for me. You did not delight in a whole burnt offerings and sin offerings." And then I said, "See, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, God." And after he says above, "You did not desire or delight in sacrifices and offerings, whole burnt offerings and sin offerings, which are offered according to the law," he then says, "See, I've come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Every priest stands day after day ministering and offering the same sacrifices time after time, which can never take away sins. But this man, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And he's now waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are sanctified. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. For after he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days," the Lord says, "I will put my laws on their hearts. I will write them on their minds, and I will never again remember their sins and their lawless acts." Now, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. If we've already been forgiven for all the bad stuff that we've done, man, we should be thankful for the one who provides that. If I wreck Levi's car and it flips 27 times, we've gone from 7 to 27, I've thrown it off a cliff, it's just a little ball right now. And I tell him, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I can never make it up for him. I have no money, so you can't sue me for anything." If Levi says, "I forgive you," how do you think that's going to make me feel toward Levi? I forgive you. I mean, really forgive you. Not just saying it and going to punch you in the face afterwards. Come on, some of us, you know what I'm talking about. "Yeah, I forgive you." And that's our attitude, right? Forgive because God says I have to. No, I forgive you. I love you more than that car. That car is mine. I have every right to put you in jail, whatever, sue you, whatever. I care for you more than the car. I forgive you. What do you think that's going to do for me? What do you think I think about Levi? Levi's awesome. I'm not telling everybody to go wreck his car, by the way, so that you can find out how awesome Levi is. Don't do that. But it would be like, "Man, Levi's amazing. Guys, we did so much worse to Jesus. Him on the cross is for you and me." We sometimes say, "It's for the world. It's for every wrongdoing, everything we can't make up for." And Jesus said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And everybody who believes in me shall have eternal life." That's why he came. That's why he died. And once that we're forgiven of those sins, we no longer have to offer sacrifices. Man, I just want to love this Jesus who's done this for me. My goodness, I couldn't change myself, but Jesus did it for me. Oh my goodness. What a great Savior. How do we keep that? Man, I remember that feeling. You guys remember that feeling? Those of you who are believers in Christ, the day you came to Jesus Christ, the day you recognized everything that came upon you that you were guilty of, that he forgave you of, and that he loved you, you remember those days? Man, I remember those days. It was like, you can't make me shut up about Jesus. And people tried to. It's like, he is awesome. I can't help but talk about him all the time. I just want to share all the good things that Jesus has done. And I keep reading about him and learning more awesome things about this Jesus whom I know. But something happens over time. That initial thankfulness and joy and satisfaction of all of what Jesus has done. Slowly come down from that. Forget, get sucked back into the thanklessness, the sinfulness of the world kind of overwhelms us. Situations happen and we realize that just because we have come to know Jesus and all of these things are true doesn't mean we've automatically been transported into heaven, and sometimes that affects our view, doesn't it? We can find ourselves, even after being 20 years a Christian, start slipping into this thankless type of living. Yeah, Jesus saved me, but the world still stinks. Jesus saved me, but this is awful. I'm just kind of holding my nose in this place. And we've lost that initial joy of our salvation. How do we keep it? How do we get it back? How do we keep this thankfulness? How do we keep a thankful heart? How many of you want to keep a thankful heart? I do. I really do. So isn't it so much better being thankful than being blah, right? It's so much better, but it's so easy nowadays just to be blah. Everybody's blah. And the joy of Christ seems to just leave us so easily. Colossians 3, Paul talks about this. Starting in verse 12. Says, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so are you to also to forgive. And above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were called, in one body rule your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do you hear the refrain of thankfulness again and again? Here's how we act to one another with peace and love and forbearance, forgiving each other, compassion toward one another. That's what we do for one another. But how do we keep this? We let the word of God dwell richly. The peace of Christ will dwell richly in us so that we might be thankful. We sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Why? It reminds us of the goodness of God. Amen? I love Christian music when it's focused on these things because it reminds me of how good Jesus is. And whatever you do, let me just say that. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through God the Father. Man, this should be all of us. Think about it. Flat tire. On the road. Somebody pulls over. Helps you with your tire. Thank you, Jesus. Should be a thank you moment. How many of us would be focused on the bum tire? Some of us would be. We're the glass half empty. No, we should be. We're the glass totally full. We have Jesus in our life. We have a bum tire. Guess what? Who's going to help me today? Who's going to help me? No, I need help. I don't enjoy those times either. I totally understand. But somebody helps me. Praise God. Right? I told many people many times, I break down anywhere in the city, I've got 100 people I can call in a moment's notice. You know why? My brothers and sisters in this congregation would come and help me. And it's not just me because I'm the pastor. They would do it for you too. I know that. That's just the nature of it. Like, dude, I know them. They're at church. Let's go help them. Man, what a blessing. Like, thank God I'm a part of this congregation. Thank God I have the love of Christ surrounding me. Thank God I have even hard times where other Christians can come and support me and lift me up during those times. Thank God that when I get to go to work, no matter what my job is like, I have an opportunity to thank God for my job, to work hard, to do everything for the glory of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Man, we should be the most thankful people. We should be the most thankful people. And we've forgotten that. And so I find it ironic. I find it well-timed. I find it providential that we get to talk about thankfulness on the 250th anniversary of our country to remind us God is good. He sent Jesus for you. He died on the cross for you. It's the only thing that will keep you thankful. If you don't know that joy of Jesus, you can today. Isn't that awesome? He brought you here in this moment, this time, so that you could hear this message, so that you can have true thankfulness, one that doesn't fade if we keep our eyes on him. Would you stand with me? Our elders will be up front for any who need prayer. Our altar here is open for you for just praying to God. Maybe you need a thankful heart. Maybe you have walked into the valley, not of the shadow of death, but the shadow of complaint. You've forgotten all the good things you have in Jesus. That you and I can walk out of here today being a truly thankful people. If you've walked in here today and you don't know the joy of Jesus, how he can set you free. You may have tried everything. You tried to be good enough to come into this place. You're not. Neither are we. He can change you. If you'll let him. Accept his sacrifice for sins. And he'll give you life. Not just eternal life for the future, but a full life here. Because we'll have so much to be thankful for. Let's walk out of here thankful people. Because he's done so much. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you. We have so many blessings. As the people of God, I just pray in the name of Jesus, you would help us to remember daily, hourly, of your goodness. That we would be thankful people of what you've saved us from. You saved us from ourselves, from our sin, something we couldn't do ourselves, dear Heavenly Father. And there might be some here who are struggling with that. They could be free this very day and have life. We pray that they will accept your invitation, Lord, and come. But build within your people a thankful heart. The testimony of Jesus, may he always be on our lips. May we be so stinking thankful the world can't help but take notice and give praise and glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.